This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday as we near the end of the week. We got a bunch of stuff this hour. So about a half hour from now, I'm going to bring Megan Basham on. She's this wonderful writer. She's exposing this refugee resettlement Christian charity network that's horrible. You're going to want to buckle up for that one. About a half hour from now, Megan's going to join us. We'll talk about politicians, of course, trying to live like rich people, even though they're not. I'll get to emails, America's police chief problem, executing doctors, all that and so much more in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And remember, of course, that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So before I get to any of that, piggybacking on something Jay Apal said, I played it for you in the first hour.
The majority of Americans across the country, regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is today.
That's not true. That's a lie. But they love this line. And remember, it's not that they believe it. Don't question their truthfulness. The communists just lie. They're selling. They are selling. When you believe in replacing American citizens with foreigners, you have to sell that in some way. So they'll tell you immigrants built the country. They'll tell you they're part of the social fabric. Barack Obama's out there doing the exact same thing, selling it.
What's been pretty unique is this idea that you get a bunch of people from every corner of the planet who don't look alike, don't worship exactly the same way to their God, and don't even, you know, don't eat the same foods, don't have the same last names, but somehow they're all working together and they can figure out how to make this place their own and live together and create something that hasn't been there before. That's what makes this country exceptional.
No, it's not. And that way of thinking was completely rejected by the men who founded this country. Completely rejected. That way of thinking was rejected really until about the middle of the 20th century. A cohesive culture, a cohesive society has to revolve around shared values. Shared values. The soil in the United States of America doesn't have these magical properties where you can just come in from every dump on the face of the planet, and you'll just be an American. I mean, sure, you don't speak the language, and you're on welfare and all that other stuff, but yeah, I mean, you're part of the fabric now. That's not how it works. That's how you break up a country, not build a country. That's how you break one up. And I do laugh when I hear things like this. Just listen to this.
I've been here for 38 years, and I cannot articulate how disappointed I am in we the people that we allow this to fall so easily. 38 years later, after being here and realizing how it's more fast, it's more smokes and mirrors, I am ready to leave. I can't financially leave right now, but the first opportunity financially that I can get, I am leaving. And I'm leaving on principle because I feel that if I, as an immigrant, remain in a fascist country.
Hey, Chris, will you do me a favor? And I'm dead serious on this. Would you do me a favor and see if you can track her down? I would like to buy her a plane ticket. I'm dead serious. I will provide for her a plane ticket if she needs some basic help moving out. I will do that as well. She said she can't financially do it, but she's ready to leave. I am happy to spend some. I will consider it a Christmas gift. I'll buy her a plane ticket for Christmas so she can go back to whatever godforsaken dump she comes from. So I'm not even close to kidding. Please see if you can track her down, name, whatever we have to do. I've noticed I'm not going to expose her nationally or something like that, but I do want to provide for her the transportation she needs to get out of my country. I would like her to leave. And by the way, please let her know when you reach out. No, I'm serious. Please let her know whenever you reach out. If she has family members, I'll buy them plane tickets too. Her entire family, men, women, children, I'm sure there's about 25 of them by now. All of them, I'm sure, are on welfare. If you wouldn't mind, let her know the Jesse Kelly Show will facilitate her remigrating back to the dump where she came from. So let her know. Let her know, family too. This is a genuine offer. Lady, if you happen to be hate listening right now, I'm really not trying to be mean. I mean it all the way. No, I'm not, Chris. No, I'm not. I mean it. I want to help you get out. All right? I want to help you get out. Just let me know. Jesse, do you think that Congress thought those drug boats had Uber drivers? Just a couple family guys working a second job to pay the bills? So on and so forth. No, look. I get what you're saying, but remember that immigration, mass immigration, as I've told you so many times before, it's not one of the many side issues for the communists who are trying to burn down Western civilization. They have all kinds of little side issues they love, right? All kinds of a pet issue here and a pet issue there. Mass migration is not a side issue for these people. It is everything. It is the magic bullet, the silver bullet, with the mass importation of disloyal foreigners. They cannot be defeated. We will be outnumbered eventually. They cannot lose if they are able to import millions and millions of foreigners who will outnumber you at the ballot box. They cannot lose. And that's the bad side of it. The good side of it is this. Without it, they cannot win. Communism, it's not popular. It is not popular without the mass importation of disloyal foreigners whose loyalty can be purchased through a Visa card and a welfare check. Without it, they are done. They are finished. Here's a headline. DOJ expands election integrity crackdown and sues six more states over withheld voter rolls. Delaware, Maryland, New Mexico, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington. What do all six of those states have in common? They are all six blue states. Why, as a blue state, would you be hiding your voter rolls? Because there's illegals on the voter rolls. Because that's the only reason they're blue states. Without the mass importation of foreigners, communists cannot win. It is not possible. They don't have the numbers. It is not a side issue for them. It is everything. Do I need to remind you that a felon, a known felon, was deported to El Salvador by the Trump administration, and a Democrat senator from Maryland, a United States senator, flew down there and had a photo op meal with him, fighting tooth and nail to keep a felon in the United States of America. You know who knows what I just said is true about the mass importation of foreigners? Every single Democrat in this country. They all know it's true. They can't possibly lose with more foreigners. They can't lose. What? Why do you think it was the first thing Joe Biden did? The first thing he did was open up the border. The Biden administration used your money to sue so they didn't have to build a border wall.
And when Trump won the election, they took the materials that had already been purchased for the border wall and auctioned them off so the border wall could not be built. The mass importation of foreigners is not a tiny side issue for communists. It is their everything. Absolutely everything. Why do you think they're going to fight tooth and nail for the Somali population of Minnesota? Did you know that Minnesota had multiple statewide elections in 2022 that had about a 1% difference between the Democrats and Republicans? Did you know that if you deport the Somalis from Minnesota, it becomes a red state like that? You know who does know that? Democrats. We cannot lose if we deport these people. With them here, we cannot win. Remember that. We'll do some more emails in a moment. Before I get to that, 'tis the season. This is the season, the Christmas season, when Tunnel to Towers does what they do so well, care for widows and orphans. Heroes like U.S. Army Warrant Officer 1 Stuart Waymont. You see, he lost his life in a mid-air collision. He left behind a wife and 3 kids. Imagine that. Imagine that knock at the door. Dad's not coming home. He gave his life. Tunnel to Towers paid off their mortgage. The $11 a month you give to Tunnel to Towers changes lives, helps people in the hour where they need it the most. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. The week is almost over. Remember, you can download the show if you miss a single part of it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. New Zealand man charged with theft over claims he swallowed a $19,000 Fabergé egg. So, what was the plan for getting it out? I mean, it's got jewels all over it. What does it say here? It has 16 white diamonds and 15 blue sapphires. Do you have any idea what that would feel like coming out the other end? How does one even swallow it to begin with? What, the Pete Buttigieg? What, Chris? What? How much is it worth? I don't know. It's some foreign. It's a foreign currency. It looks like it might be $33,000, but that might be New Zealand money. So who knows? Yeah. You can't pay that. That's not worth it. What was the plan? Swallowing the egg. I'm wrapping my mind around what the plan was to get it out. There's no way he was planning on letting it just run its course, right? I'm telling you what, must have been in the Navy. Jesse, do you think President Trump will be safe going after the drug cartels? These are powerful people who easily have the kind of money needed to put a price on the president's life. So, all right, a couple things. First, let's address this safe. There is no safe, really. There is no safe. Remember, Donald Trump, with Secret Service protection, has already been shot in the head. The only reason he's alive is he turned his head at the exact moment the shooter pulled the trigger. Especially today, with the rifles that are out there today, the weapons that are out there today, and the optics with the weapons, it just doesn't take that much training. It doesn't even take that much money to be able to place a reasonable shot from a good distance away. What does that mean? Safe? There's no such thing, okay? Just isn't. There's no such thing.
Even the president, right? They almost got him already. Even the president. There's no such thing. That's one. Two, I have been, don't make fun of me, Chris. I've been watching this amazing documentary recently. It's actually not a history documentary, although I guess in a way it is. It's called Narco Wars. And I really hate, I'm going to be really mad at myself if it's, I'm sure it's some dirty commie produced it. So don't email me and yell at me if it turns out to be some dirty commie. But the documentary, I think I'm on episode 5 or 6. I've actually got Ob watching it with me, which tells you how good it is. It's called Narco Wars. It is so good. It kind of chronicles the drug trade from Colombia, from Mexico, the history of the cartels there. What, Chris? What? Chris said, how are you reading the subtitles? I don't mind subtitles, Chris, because I don't need audiobooks when I read something. I don't mind reading, Chris. I'm able to read. Anyway, it's not distracting to read subtitles at all. Ob pitches the exact same kind of a fit. I'm not reading the whole thing. It's not like that at all. And there's a ton of it that's in English. Anyway, I'm watching this amazing documentary, Narco Wars. It's so good. And one of the parts of it is about Kiki Camarena. You remember Kiki Camarena? Maybe you're familiar with the story. We had the DEA down in Mexico. I think this was in the 80s, 70s or 80s. We had the DEA down in Mexico. And Kiki and the DEA, they were really messing things up for the drug traffickers and messed them up bad. Well, these drug traffickers are used to what? Killing their opposition, torturing people. So Kiki, an American DEA agent, they snatched him. They snatched him up in the middle of the day, threw him in the back of a car, and they went and tortured him terribly, tortured him and recorded it. So they were trying to find out what he knew, what the DEA knew. Eventually they kill him. So on and so forth. Well, after a while, his body is delivered or discovered. I forget exactly how it went. I think they got a tip and they ended up finding his body. But we just had a DEA agent killed by the cartels. The United States of America did not take kindly to that. And the cartels paid a heavy, heavy price for that. The two top men who were responsible for it, two cartel leaders who were responsible for it, eventually tracked down, arrested, 40 years in prison, both of them. One of them got out, and he's alive today in hiding. No one knows where he is. That's another story. But that's for one DEA agent. If the cartels, and the cartels know this, because they obviously have the power to kill anyone they want. They can kill you, me, whoever. They can kill anybody they want. If they were to ever make an attempt on a significant politician's life, certainly anybody in the federal government, the hell that would rain down on them would not be worth it. They would probably be killed by other cartels just so the other cartels would avoid the wrath of America that would come down. If the cartels ever killed someone like Trump, a president like that, the United States of America would probably declare war on Mexico. That's an act of war. And by the way, we should. Don't worry about that. Now, I mean, obviously, anyone can be killed, but don't worry about that. All right, let's talk to Megan Basham, shall we? We're going to talk to her about this refugee resettlement done with Christian charities. Then we'll get to politicians living the life of luxury. I want you to live a life pain-free. That's what I want. I don't want you to wake up and have your neck hurt every day, to wince when you're walking up the stairs or sitting down because your knee hurts or your foot. Chronic pain is life-sucking. Why don't you let Relief Factor take your pain away? Not mask it for a couple hours. It's not what I'm trying to tell you. Take it away. What if every day you could take a supplement, drug-free, and your pain gets turned down, just gets turned down a little more and a little more and a little more as it builds up in your system, and one day, 2, 3 weeks, maybe a month, one day you wake up and it's gone and you have your life back. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF and try it. They'll sell you 3 weeks of it for $19.95. Just try it for 3 weeks. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. All right? Talk about this refugee resettlement next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, turn it off. Turn it off. I have to deal with this every night when I get home. Ob has the Christmas music blasting through the house, and it figures that Megan would do the exact same thing to me. There's no escape from it. It's been in our house for 3 weeks already now. Joining me now, culture writer, wonderful New York Times best-selling author, Megan Basham joins me. Megan, you picked that song on purpose, didn't you?
Suburban mom, what do you expect? We start Christmas, you know, right after Halloween.
My wife did the exact same thing. So, Megan, I'm going to kind of give you the floor here because World Relief, that sounds like such a wonderful organization, just out there helping the world and giving relief. Is it a wonderful organization, Megan?
Well, if you're a fan of amnesty policies and open borders, then yes, it's a wonderful organization. If you're not a fan of those things, then no, it's not a great organization. So for those who aren't familiar, it is the allegedly humanitarian arm of the National Association of Evangelicals, which is one of the largest associations of Protestant churches in the world, represents some 46,000 churches or something like that. And World Relief is their humanitarian arm is what they call it. And what that means is they do a lot of work in settling refugees, asylum seekers, immigrants. And once upon a time, they were actually privately funded. So they were funded by other Christians, churches. But today, what they are is essentially an NGO that is majority funded by our government. So since 2021, they've received about $330 million from the federal government to resettle refugees. That is by far the bulk of the income that they get. And in 2021 alone, they received $56 million to settle refugees, including those coming from Afghanistan, including the shooter who shot two guardsmen on, I believe it was November 25th.
So just so I'm clear here, this is allegedly an evangelical organization and a large one receiving hundreds of millions of your money and my money, and they bring terrorists into the United States of America. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's about the sum of it. And what was really eye-popping, and what I have an article actually coming out tomorrow based on a viral thread I posted on X, is that so they settled the shooter, and I'm going to probably butcher his name a little bit, but it's
who cares?
Ramanullah Lakhanwal, who shot the two National Guards, 20-year-old specialist Sarah Beckstrom, who he killed, and 24-year-old Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, who is still in serious condition. So they settled him in Bellingham, Washington. Now, what's really interesting is the day before, Lakhanwal opened fire on these two National Guards people. President Trump had announced that he was going to end, that he was going to require a second pass of vetting for all of these Afghan nationals who had come into the United States because there was a concern that they had not been properly vetted due to the chaos of our pullout during the Biden administration, and so they needed to go through a second round of scrutiny. World Relief issued a statement condemning that. They stated that it would be re-traumatizing to the Afghan nationals, to face any further vetting. And so they openly issued a statement saying the title of that was World Relief Condemns Trump Administration's Needless and Reprehensible Relitigation of Recently Resettled Refugees. So I guess we can give them points for alliteration. But, you know, the irony is the very next day, the immigrant that they settled opened fire on two of our citizens while shouting Allahu Akbar.
Now, Megan, this organization does this with our taxpayer money, and you said they settle these people. What does that mean? Meaning, are they renting them apartments? Are they running them through Costco for some gallon tubs of peanut butter? What do they do with our money, basically?
Yeah, so essentially what they do, you know, people who hear about World Relief have a misunderstanding. A lot of well-meaning Christians will sometimes give them money and give them support, not understanding what they really are. They expect that these people are sharing the gospel and the love of Christ, and that's what they're doing. In fact, that's not it. They don't really have much one-on-one interaction with these people, with these refugees at all. They're simply sort of a middleman who they're, you know, organizing the SNAP benefits, the housing benefits, the basically welfare is what they're organizing. And what a lot of Christians need to know is they are actually barred by federal law from any proselytizing. So they're not telling these people about the gospel. They're not sharing the love of Jesus with them because it's illegal for them to do this. So essentially what they're doing is taking a huge amount of taxpayer money from the federal government to, yes, to bring these people into our country and to facilitate them getting welfare benefits of various kinds, again, including housing assistance payments and SNAP benefits and things like that.
Well, this is all pretty much horrifying. Speaking with Megan Basham, New York Times bestselling author, she writes for The Daily Wire. Her stuff is always so good. Megan, can you, and I'm afraid to even ask the question, all right, but could you maybe let us know, because I'm sure it's on people's minds, which churches around the United States of America are under this umbrella?
Well, just about every mainline denomination is under their umbrella. I'd have to look it up for you, Jesse, which I'm doing literally as we're talking. But what's interesting to know is that you have actually started to see some denominations leave the National Association of Evangelicals, specifically because of their progressive politicking. Now, they've always put themselves forward as being conservative, but more and more we're seeing that as they have embraced things like amnesty policies, like promoting open borders, starting in 2018, they produced a Bible study curriculum about welcoming the stranger, and they sent this out to all that. Yeah, cherry picks verses. It manipulates scripture. They have been hard on the climate change movement. So, yes, and so what was interesting was, you know, some of the denominations, like the Presbyterian Church in America, actually recently left them because of their progressive politicking. Now, what I know is there's about 40 different Christian denominations that fall under their umbrella. I would have to check the list of who is still in that group as people have been leaving. But, you know, there's groups like the Christian Reformed Church and others, the Advent Christian Church, Church of God, Evangelical Free Church of America. A lot of people go to those churches, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. I could go on and on. North American Baptist Conference. So many, many large denominations are still housed with the National Association of Evangelicals, including Vineyard, another really big denomination, Seventh-day Baptist General Conference. So, I mean, I could give you a really long list. It's about 40 different denominations at this point, not counting those who recently left because of their progressive politicking. But what's really sad to know about this, Jesse, is they didn't used to be like this. You know, at one point, the National Association of Evangelicals was so conservative that Ronald Reagan actually delivered his famous Evil Empire speech to their national convention. So you can see the success that the left has had in infiltrating this really large and influential organization.
That is so freaking sad that we allowed this to happen. By the way, if this subject interests you, Megan wrote a wonderful book, Shepherds for Sale. If you want to know why your skinny jeans wearing loser pastor talks about welcoming in the third world into this country, I would highly, highly recommend you go read that book. Megan, appreciate you as always. And I guess Merry Christmas. I'll talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas to you. Don't be a Grinch, Jesse.
They just worm their way through everything good. Everything good, every organization, everything good and right, these dirty communists find a way to slither their way in there and poison it. It's freaking awful. Anyway, whatever. Let's do some more emails. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Thursday. Remember to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This is from the New York Post. Doctors admit to performing non-standard gender-affirming surgeries on youth, including castrations. I just want to go on the record here and say, if you're a doctor who did this, if I ever come to power in this country, you better leave. and you better make sure you are in a non-extradition country. Because if you present yourself as a medical professional and you lop body parts off of children, I believe you should be tried, a fair trial, arrested, tried, and you should go to the electric chair. And that's me being really, really nice. I'm not saying what I would actually like to do because I'm trying to be kind and there are children listening. What kind of monsters do we have in the medical profession in this country where they're butchering children? Butchering them. And what kind of freak parents do we have in this country? Demented liberal white women is what it is. That's the demographic that does it. I've said it before. The most vicious, violent creatures on the planet are liberal white women because no other animal of any kind, will actually groom its young to sacrifice them later on. Even the animals that will kill their young, because that happens in nature. I don't know of a single animal that will groom its child with the intention of mutilating them for societal acceptance. Freaking demonic, man. Jesse, I always ask libs this question. What is diversity to you? In one room, you have 10 people, 4 white, 4 black, 1 Asian, 1 Latino, all conservative MAGAs. In the other room, you have 10 white males who are all a mix of conservatives, middle of the road, and liberals. Which room is more diverse? No liberal will answer the question. His name is Brandon. Okay, I'm glad you're getting them, and I respect it. Totally get it. But remember, we had this talk before about Herbert Marcuse. And it may be Marcuse or whatever, I don't care what his stupid name is. He was a communist. And he really pioneered something that it's really important for you to understand. It's really important. He pioneered the idea of, quote, liberating tolerance. Have you heard this before? You've heard me talk about it before if you listen to the show. Liberating tolerance. What is liberating tolerance? It's an interesting term. Well, the idea is simple. Anything from the left, anything communist, should be tolerated. But because right-wingers, they're the enemy, they're evil, you shouldn't tolerate anything from them. Nothing. Liberating tolerance. So when you say to communists, I thought you said you were tolerant. That doesn't sound very tolerant. When your liberal Aunt Peggy says that we should bring in another 100,000 people from Somalia and that Trump's supporters should be imprisoned and sent to the gulag, you're tempted to say, that doesn't sound tolerant. I thought you were tolerant, but you don't understand. She has a different view of tolerance than you do, a different definition. She believes in liberating tolerance. Just because the communist uses words does not mean he believes those words have the same definition you believe. Everything is for the revolution. You're never going to get these people to admit they're wrong with little comparisons like that. They may clam up because they know answering the question makes them look bad, but you're not going to get a communist by pointing out his hypocrisy. He believes in hypocrisy. He believes that rules, standards, should only apply to you. He should never be held to any standards at all because he's fighting the all-important revolution on behalf of his demonic religion. Anything is acceptable. Say anything, do anything, hurt anybody. You're not allowed to do any of that. And you shouldn't be, remember? You're, in his mind, not a political opponent. You're a heretic. A heretic. He is fighting a religious war with you. All right? Jesse, what do you do when filling out a form for a doctor or other medical provider and they ask for gender assigned at birth, pronouns you use, gender identity? Do you answer these questions? No. I ignore all these questions, and if I'm ever if I'm ever in a doctor's office where I'm there by choice, like, for instance, I hate to even admit this, I have to go in for another vision appointment because it's been a couple years and I'm sure I need some updated glasses. Shut up, Corey. If I walk into a doctor that's a choice of mine and I see that stuff, I'm walking out. And I'll tell them at the front desk why I'm walking out. We have to stop allowing mental illness to infect every part of our society. You know how many people have emailed the show, and I've read you the emails, where they've gotten governments, they've gotten companies, they've gotten places to change their policy just by being bold enough to step up and speak out? Half these companies that put these policies into place, they put them into place because some communist hag in HR wanted them in place, and nobody on the right will actually stand up and say anything. We all put our heads down and our mouths shut, and we roll our eyes silently, and then we go text a friend about that whole thing. You know how we do.
People be texting.
We just let it go. Don't just be texting. Be talking. Loud. Let them know this is unacceptable. You start making them afraid of you the way they are of communist HR lady, then we can get some movement. Anyway, speaking
people
of...
People be texting.
Jasmine Crockett. What, Chris? Jasmine Crockett's in the news. We're going to talk about that. It's going to be fantastic. You know what else is fantastic? ZipRecruiter. I'm a fan of anything that saves me time. My time is worth something, just like your time is. If you're an employer and you're looking to find someone new, maybe you're trying to replace someone at your office like Chris. Maybe it's a new, brand new position. If you're looking to find somebody new, you don't have months. You don't have 8 hours a day to sift through resumes, try to call, schedule an interview. Nobody has time for that. The number one hiring site is ZipRecruiter because they're known to save you time. They have this matching technology that puts the best candidates in front of you immediately, and 4 out of 5 employers who post on there get a quality candidate within the first day. Your time is valuable, so treat it as if it's valuable. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.